Hi, I'm John Pizzarelli, and I'm sitting in for Marion McPartland today, and my guest just happens to be the man who taught me everything, well, mostly everything, the amazing guitarist and dad, Bucky Pizzarelli. Hello, Father.
I don't get
it. I'm doing very well. These programs for me are fun to do because I finally get to ask you all the questions that you never answer when we're in the car.
That's right.
So I thought we would talk a few things, mostly about guitar players, how you found out about the guitar and where all those things that I like to hear you talk about. And then we agreed off air, before we went on air, to talk about piano players also. In honor of Marion, we thought it's called Piano Jazz, so we'll talk about piano players too. So, actually, maybe we should kick off by playing a song. Would that be a good idea with you? If we played a little Tangerine or something?
Good, that sounds good.
All right. You recorded that on your Green Guitar Blues record.
I did that. Did I?
Yeah.
On Green Guitar Blues?
Yeah, with Don LeMond and George Duvivier.
Oh, that's wild.
Actually, Barry Galbraith wrote out that your solo on that and used to give it to his students.
That's right.
I used to be surprised. I'd meet these kids who study with Barry Galbraith and be playing your arrangement of Tangerine.
Yeah, well, I used to follow Barry when he played with Claude Thornhill.
And did you meet him on the road?
I met him. I met him in New York at one of the hotels down there, maybe the Pennsylvania Hotel.
Because he was playing with the band.
Well, he had left the band and he was doing a lot of studio work. And I happened to go down to see the band, and he was there
with Claude Thornhill.
Yeah, he didn't play though. He just came in. But I remember listening to the records that they had made. They were fantastic.
I mean, it's amazing to think of all the guys who made those records. And,
that's right.
You know how you all. Most of you guys started in big bands, I would imagine.
Well, that's it. Well, Barry was known for being with Claude Thornhill. And I think it was with Hal McIntyre for a while. And
you were with Vaughn Monroe.
I was with Vaughn Monroe. And Barry was with Vaughn Monroe as well. And so was another guitar player nobody knows about. It was Zeb Julian.
Good
friend of Barry's. I mean, I heard him in Passaic, New Jersey one night. And I was going to high school. I wanted to quit high school and quit music altogether.
Well, you grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. I mean,
right.
It's sort of these are things I never get to ask you, aside from the fact that we all know you were born in Paterson, New Jersey in 1926.
That's right.
So there were theaters that you could go see bands in those days.
We used to take the bus to New York to the Paramount, you know, for 75 cents you go down there. And then watch three or four shows, you know, and edge up closer to the bandstand.
Now, did you go by yourself? Or
no, we went, you know, all
a bunch
of guys
get together.
Like music, you know.
Right. And your uncles, Pete and Bobby Dominick, taught you how to play the guitar when you were 11,
well,
12, 10?
See, they used to play at our house on Sunday afternoon just for enjoyment. That was the entertainment.
Right.
And I wanted to join in, so I learned a few chords, and they bought me a guitar, and then finally I got to know everything they were doing.
And they played banjo, tenor banjo.
Banjo as well. They taught you, you know.
I know.
Uncle Pete taught you the banjo.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I got Pete's banjo.
That's right.
Well, you want to play, maybe we could play Sweet Sue in honor of the Dominick brothers. You think we could?
Yeah, we can do that.
You still remember Sweet Sue?
That's the first tune I learned.
Well, there you go. Fitting. Are you ready? Thank you. for those of you guitar players out there and piano players, musicians in general, who keep hearing low notes come out of the guitar, we have we're playing seven-string guitars. The guitar, that the idea of that, the low A added to the regular guitar, was an idea invented by George Van Epps.
What? Well, he happened to call that a lap piano.
Right. And when did he do that? About the late 30s?
I would say, well, he developed that in New York City here at the Gretsch Factory. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, he made an album in 1956.
Mellow Guitar.
Mellow Guitar, which was still one of the best ones ever.
It really is an amazing sound that he gets out of the guitar.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right? Because you can... it just be the way all the notes fall into place. I mean, I could actually demonstrate some of it on the guitar, which, say, his piece on They Can't Take That Away From Me, right?
Yeah.
I still find it amazing in Bucky Pizzarelli's world that you heard Jovanotti on the radio.
Yep.
You heard Grappelli and Reinhardt on record, I would imagine.
Yes, I heard on the 78s.
And you heard Benny Goodman.
Benny a lot on radio broadcasts.
Les Paul.
Les too. I heard Les and George Barnes from Chicago radio station.
And the point of my whole, the thing I'm getting back to is that you ended up playing with all those people and being friends with all those guys.
Yeah.
I'm lucky I know you. We're related. But I mean, so we covered George Van Epps, but I mean, say, like you worked a lot with George Barnes. But, so you heard George play on the radio out of Chicago when he was 16.
That's right. Well, we did a lot of recording studio gigs together.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually played rhythm guitar.
And where you first ended up meeting him then?
Yeah, that's where I met him on a session.
So you must have walked into a studio and go, oh, my God, is
1950,
George
Barnes? That's when I first met George.
And it must have blown your mind.
I went crazy, yeah. After a while, we formed a little duet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember in the 60s, obviously.
Yeah, two six-string guitars. But then the big moment was when I got the seven-string. That rounded out the duet.
Right.
Because you had the bass notes and the chords.
And then he lived with Les for a while. I know.
He lived at Les's house for a while. He was helping Les do some kind of a venture with multiples.
Well, he was a very smart...
Oh, he knew all about that stuff.
He had as much technical knowledge as Les did about the electronic part of it.
Yeah, he did.
And then didn't George have the studio right near our house in Saddle River?
He had if you went around the block, you'd run into George's studio.
Right.
He was taking care of all the equipment for A&R that was on upstairs from Jim and Andy's, famous studio. And they were putting out 32 tracks and 64 tracks and all that other stuff. So they had equipment there, and we put it to use while we were up there.
It was in this building, 35 minutes outside of New York on Lake Street.
Yeah, we went through a fake book one night, and we just kept turning pages and playing every song that was in the book.
Yeah, we had an 8-track cassette of those that we play in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept waiting to get to Pick Yourself Up. But you played Frenzy, all those songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we play Pick Yourself Up in honor of your duet with George Barnes, if that's okay? You up for Pick Yourself, Pops?
Yeah.
Thank you.
hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.